This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. It is kind of strange not having people here. The hallways are empty. The rooms are empty. This room is just basically empty, but we know that you're at home, you're somewhere watching, and that's really exciting for you that God has given us and for us to have this technology. And so let's do what we've been doing. Go ahead and say hello to everybody. Let us know where you are. It's kind of our new way. This is the introvert's way of greeting people. You can all write a comment. Just say, hi, how you doing? This is where we are. And as we do that, I want to remind you to get the church app if you haven't already done that. It's really easy to do. Go to the church under Tidely Church app. Search for Bridges Church and whatever app store that you use. And then download that. Then you can check in with the church. There's place for message notes, place for prayer, place for you can do a connect card, a place to give. Prayer requests are a great way to connect with the church. We really would like for you to do that. And then another announcement, I don't know, it's hard to believe it's been a year, but it's time to do the Reveal study a year ago. If you were with us a year ago, we took this study. It was kind of a snapshot of where we were spiritually at the time. It was part of my D-Men project, and we want to continue doing that. We can put that slide back up, Reveal slide, thank you. It's part of my D-Men project, something that we were working on a year ago. And we're going to do it starting next week, April the 26th through May the 10th. Our goal is to have 75 people take that and just kind of see how we've grown in the last year, what God has done in our life as a church to kind of move forward, to continue to grow, to be Christ-centered. So look for that email to come out with a link for that in the next week. And then when you get that, check it out, fill it out, and then we'll get the results in just a few weeks. Right now our leaders are doing that, and we're going to get the results back from that in just a little bit. This is a time that we really need some good news. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of bad news lately, and I think more than anything, my soul, your soul probably is just asking for good news, seeking it. There's a new show online. John Krasinski, an actor, is doing a show called Some Good News. And John Krasinski, if you know him from The Office, he directed a movie called The Quiet Place. He was in Winston-Salem for a while. He did a film called Leatherheads with George Clooney. So he was right here in the area filming. I think he spent the night just down the street. So we have a connection to him. But he did this show that everybody kind of loved called Some Good News, where he just does good news. This past week, episode 3 was really, how he wanted to focus on healthcare workers. And so they showed different people like recovering from COVID-19. They were in a hospital, and the different people just cheered for him. These people, as they walked out, they cheered for the healthcare workers themselves. The main focus on the show, though, was a hospital in Boston where he's from. And then he grabbed the COVID-19 unit and went to a room. And in that room, they talked back and forth with him. They sent a duck, which is an amphibious vehicle, to pick up this small group of people. They took them across the bay. They took them to the Red Sox Stadium. And while they were there, they put on the big jumbotron the governor of Massachusetts, the mayor of Boston, and the Red Sox team one by one. And they gave the standing ovation to this COVID-19 unit. And I thought it was cool. So what I'd like to do there on your comments, if you kind of join me in doing this, let's just give a shout out to the healthcare worker heroes that you know of and just put their name out there. I know in our church we have Angel, Mark, Eddie, Patty, Brandon, Alan, Penny, Mary Beth. There's just a whole list of them. So if you'll go ahead and whoever you know, just say thank you. Thank you for taking those front lines. Thank you for being there and helping just people of all kinds of illnesses and things, but they're on the front lines. So if you'll do that and thank them. As we prepare for this new series, we need some good news. We need some really good news in our life. As I was preparing for back in January, February, as I was looking at this series, a phrase came to my mind, and it kept being there. I kept trying to change it, but it kept coming back. And this was the phrase, more than conquerors, more than conquerors. And I tried to move away from that. I kept coming back to it, and I didn't even know where in the Bible it was, to tell you the truth exactly. I knew it was a biblical phrase, and so finally just said, I think this is where God is leading us. And we get this phrase from Romans 8, verse 37. If you have your Bibles turned there, and we're going to put it up on the screen, you can look at this. And it says this: knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. That's a great phrase to think about. It's a great phrase to live. And I'll tell you the truth, I don't always feel that way. And maybe you don't either. I think sometimes I feel overwhelmed by circumstances. I feel like sometimes things are taking over. Trying to learn all this new technology, sometimes I think technology is the conqueror of me. And then I'm reminded that it's not what we feel. That's not what's important. What's important is our faith. That our faith has to really inform our lives more than our feelings. We may not feel like worshiping. We may not feel like getting into God's word. We may not feel like praying. But our faith drives us to God. Our faith takes over. Our faith is what really should speak into our life. And so when God says that we are more than conquerors, we have to go, okay, that's truth. My feelings aren't always truth, but God's word is truth. This verse was taken from a chapter in the Bible, Romans 8. It's in a book, which is actually a letter to the church in Rome. It's a church that was going through some difficult times, some difficult, just some happenstances and some circumstances in their life, and they needed to be encouraged. And when you look at the context of Romans 8, you'll see a lot of encouragement. A lot of things that God wants to tell us about promises, about facts in our life, about truths. And so what we're doing in this series is we're going to put some videos on Facebook. We're going to be speaking about it on Sunday mornings. We're going to be diving down deep into this chapter, in this wonderful letter. So be looking for those things. We want you to become an expert on Romans 8. We want you to spend time in it, read it. Just see what God has to say through it and really look for those key things he wants us to know from this chapter that will reveal to us that we are more than conquerors. This week and next week, we're going to look at two different verses. One is Romans 8:37. We're going to look at that more deeply next. This week, I want to look at Romans 8:28. It's a verse that many of us know. It's a verse that you'll see on people's walls, hear people quote it, they live it out. And I think it's a great verse for us to kind of look at and just say, this is what God would speak to us today. This is what it says. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. I love how it starts, and we know. It's not like we hope or we're counting on it or whatever. Paul writes, we know this. We know this. We know. And because God tells us that all things work together for good. I like that part too. It doesn't say all things are good. It doesn't say everything's gonna look great from the beginning. It says that all things work together for good. In other words, it's heading in a certain direction. It is going toward the direction that God wants it to go. And in that, we can trust God. We know that all things work together for good. It is heading in a right way. In that first church, that first generation of Christ followers in Rome, they had nothing to fall back on, really. They didn't have generations of information and history to look back on. They were experiencing this for the first time. And Paul wants them to know in a verse a little bit earlier, Romans 8:18, he wants them to know this: for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Sufferings. That must have been hard for them to hear. Can you think about it? They give their life to Jesus. They're trying to figure out what that means. And he writes to them and said, we are going to go through sufferings. And the sufferings we're going to go through are nothing compared to the glory that we'll see one day and experience one day. But right now, we're going to go through sufferings. That's kind of like a bait and switch. Like, here's Jesus, but then you're going to go through sufferings. You're going to go through hard times. I think for many of us, probably, we look at life, we have Jesus in our life, we have God in our life, and we're saying, I expect everything to be perfect. I expect my marriage to be perfect. I expect my kids to be perfect. I expect my parents to be perfect. I expect my job to be perfect. I think everything should work out for me, and everything should be just this road ahead where everything's just perfect. And then we hit a bump in the road, and we realize it's not perfect. That we are in a broken world. We deal with certain things. We deal with sufferings. We deal with problems. And it's not easy. I've become convinced more and more that with Jesus, when we are looking for that abundant life, it doesn't mean everything is going to look a certain way. It means we're going to have obstacles. We're just going to overcome them. We're going to overcome them internally. We're going to see God has a plan. He has a direction. But we need to understand that we will go through times of suffering and difficulty. Later in that chapter, in verse 35, he lists some things that they were going through at the time. They were going through tribulation. The word tribulation means a cause of great trouble and great suffering. They were not having it easy. They were experiencing distress. Look at the middle of that word, stress, stressors. And we can probably feel those. They were going through persecution, which is something that we're not having to experience in our world. We have a lot of these things, but in our country right now, we don't really face persecution, not the way they were. And so they were dealing with this understanding that life didn't get better with Jesus necessarily. Actually, it got a little bit harder with Jesus because now they were facing persecution. And then they were dealing with a famine. And then it says nakedness, which means their economy was really, really tough where they couldn't even afford clothes. And then they were dealing with danger. Think about that time. If you had a pandemic, if you had an illness, it would sweep through the apartments. It would sweep through the cities where people were clustered together. And there was no health care. There was no hospitals. There was no doctors. They were just kind of on their own, and they were trying to take care of one another. And then they were dealing with the sword, which means definite persecution, individual persecution of people who were following Jesus. It was not an easy time to be a Christ follower. And yet Paul keeps reminding them the good news that God does work together everything for good. In the Old Testament, there's a verse that's very similar to Romans 8:28. It's a verse many of us know. It's a verse that God had delivered to the people in exile. His people were living far from home. It's Jeremiah 29:11, and it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." God was saying, I do have a plan. I do have a direction. I do know where this is all heading. And what I want you to understand, it's for your welfare. It's for good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. A future and a hope. That's something to hold on to during this time, right? This will be over in a year or two or 3 years, 4 years. It'll be long past by then. And we'll look back on this time and think of all the things and remember all the things that God did to bring us through. It's just hard to get there. And God says, I have a plan, and this plan is a good plan, and it's a future and a hope for you. I like to think of life as a river sometimes. It definitely is like that in so many ways, a river that just flows through from one place to the other. In our local area, the Yadkin River is kind of our main river. It's where we pull a lot of the water from for us to drink and to use around the cities. The Yadkin River starts up in Watauga County up in the mountains near Blowing Rock. It winds down through the hills. It winds down to our area. It passes a couple of places where it's dammed off, where they make lakes, and then it joins the Uwari River and then the Petee River, and it finally hits a bay in South Carolina that's an estuary. Estuaries are a place where marine life flourishes, where they're born and where they grow. And this is where a lot of our seafood comes, is from estuaries. In other words, it's a place of life. And while the Yadkin River can flood and it can meander and it can overflow and it can cause damage, by the end, though, it's a place of life. And I think that's the way it is with us. We go through difficult times, we go through difficult things, but at the end, there is a place of life for us. Place of joy, a place where we experience all the good things God has for us, but the winding and the flooding and the troubles are all part of the journey that God has us on. If you go to Romans 8:28 and then follow it to the next verse, God kind of explains the plan for us. What are the good things he has for us? Romans 8:29 says this, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." In other words, God has a plan for us, and his plan is to become like Jesus. It said those he foreknew, those he knew in advance, he had predestined them. He had a plan for them, and that plan was for them to become like Jesus, conform to his image, to look like him inside, and to become like him, and to have his character, and to grow, to look like he looks, as far as how he works inside of us. A few years ago, Stacy and I went on our anniversary to Asheville. We went up and just visited a lot of the places, a great tourist area. And one of the things we did that I didn't know was there was we went to the Arts District. It's in an industrial area outside of town. They kind of turned that over to the artist. And unlike like a lot of artist areas where you go just see the gallery, see their finished work, this is where they actually go to work. And they have their workshops, they have their artist areas, and you just go watch them paint, draw, ceramics, jewelry, whatever it may be. And we went to one place that I was completely fascinated by. We walked in, this lady was working, she had a big canvas set up in the middle of a room, and she was taking a blowtorch to it. And I had never seen anybody do this before, and it was fascinating to watch. She did a little area at a time, and she would use this blowtorch under intense heat to create art. As we were there, she stopped her work, and she explained that what she was doing is called encaustic painting. And basically, it comes from the ancient Greeks, and they would take beeswax, and they would mix color pigments inside the beeswax. They would put it on the painting, they would heat it up, and then it was able to be molded and able to shape, and they would spread it out. And then when it hardens, it's almost indestructible. Not only that, but the colors stay vibrant for the length of the life of the painting or the artwork, whatever you're working on. Unlike like paintings from the Renaissance, which would tend to crack and they would tend to be destroyed, these ancient paintings would last almost forever. There was one as an example they found. It's a picture of Jesus. It's very interesting. There he is, and this is from the 5th century. This is old, and the colors are still as vibrant as they ever were. In this painting, you'll see Jesus, and it's a very interesting painting. His face looks lopsided. There's a reason for that. The author of this, the creator of this, wanted to show Jesus as he was pictured to this artist. On his right-hand side, our left-hand side, that represents the deity of Jesus. On his left side, our right side, is the humanness of Jesus. You see, they don't match. If you did a mirror image of them, you would look like two different people. His right hand is in a form of blessing. His left hand holds the gospel. And when they found this picture, they thought at first it was from the 13th century because it had been painted over. They had to uncover it. But the more they investigated, they realized that this painting, though 1,500 years old, had been preserved because of the form it had taken. And when they scraped off all the outer paint, this amazing picture was left. Someone had put it under intense heat and had formed in this picture of Jesus. I think our life is like that as we follow Jesus. I think that as God puts us through intense heat, through intense suffering, through difficult times, he's forming inside of us this picture of Jesus that cannot be destroyed, that cannot be painted over. It simply needs to be revealed. And it's revealed through hard times. In Romans chapter 5, an earlier verse in the same book, Paul writes this: not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. There's a reason for them. We rejoice in going through difficult times, knowing that suffering produces endurance. You and I cannot endure. We cannot gain an endurance without going through difficult times. We cannot become like Jesus without it. And then he writes, endurance produces character, the character of Jesus, so that we love like Jesus. We have the peace that Jesus had. We have the joy that Jesus has. You cannot, I cannot experience that without going through tough times. Sometimes we're more interested in our comfort than we are in our character. It's reversed in God's kingdom. He's much more interested in our character, which lasts, than he is in our comfort. He really wants us to focus down on this, become like my son, because if you do that, character produces hope. And hope is something that's so valuable. The verse continues and it says this: and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope is something that sustains us. In the middle of what we're going through, we need hope. It's so valuable to have hope, and it's only gained through becoming more and more like Jesus. Peter put it this way in his letters. 1 Peter 1:6 and 7 says this, and this you rejoice. There's another sign. Rejoicing is something that we should do because we're going through hard times. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, and we all have been. But then it says, so the tested genuineness of your faith, the more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, God, as he tests us through fire, he's producing this faith in him, this trust in him. We go through and we see what God is doing. We go through these things and see that he is faithful. We go through them and see that God is love, that he is there. He is taking care of us. We go through hard times. Marriages fail. Families argue. You go through financial issues. You go through a period where everything looks bleak. You go through a time where you lose hope. Your dream doesn't come through. You have to wait for something. All these things combined are what God is using to say, trust me, trust me, this time will end. I am there, you're gonna be okay. If we go back to Romans 8:28 and look at that verse again, it says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Notice there's two conditions. This is for a very specific group of people. It's for those who love God, those who have a relationship with him, those who understand how much he loves us, and so we give our love back to him. It's for the people who go, I know God is there. I know he has a plan. I'm willing to go in this boat with him. I'm willing to go on this trip with him because I love him. And I know he has something better for me. And I know this is working towards something. It's for those who love God. And it also says for those who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes we think of calling as just for missionaries or for people on church staffs, but the word calling really isn't about that at all. It's about a calling to know Jesus. It's a call to follow him. It's to everyone who hears the voice of Jesus and says, I'm here, I will go. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll go because you're going. I'll walk through whatever you want me to walk through because I'm gonna go with you. You are here. That's what God calls us to, a life with Jesus. And when we answer that call, when we answer back in love, all things work together for good. There is a purpose. There is a destination. Sometimes tough news, bad news just wears us down. It can get to the point where we're going, I'm not sure about this love for God. I'm not sure about this calling from God. And yet when we answer those, we see God at work. I came across this story the other day that I found kind of fascinating. It's about a guy named Philip Halley. He was a professor of philosophy at Wesleyan University and a World War II vet. And he was assigned to study Nazi atrocities during World War II, specifically some of the experiments done on Jewish children. And as a professor, he had to read the documents of what was done to these children. But as a human being, he could not be objective. He could not read them without feeling. He said some days he was overwhelmed by just what he read and it was just so crushing on him. And other days he was completely numb. He couldn't take anymore. Maybe you're that way with the news. You watch it and you're fascinated by it and you hear the bad news after bad news, but then after a while we become numb to it. We don't even see people anymore. We just see numbers. It's easy to do that. And this was happening to him until he came across a story he had never read before. It was a story about a village named Le Chambron in the southeastern part of France. It was a settlement of French Huguenots who were Protestants, who were followers of Jesus, who had faced persecution most of their existence. And they had settled in this small town to kind of live for Christ, to build their relationship with him, to love him, and to answer his call. And this group of people, because they had been through tough times themselves, understood this, that human beings are human beings. And so when Jewish families would come to their village, they would take them in and they would hide them. This village of 3,000 people eventually saved over 3,500 Jewish people. They did it because they loved Jesus. They did it because they were called to do it. They suffered pains. They suffered difficulties. They suffered a lot. Their pastor, Andre Trockmeyer, and his wife, Magda, they were the leaders. And on the day that Andre was arrested by the police, They were there in their kitchen, and the police came in, and Magda invited the policeman to sit and have dinner. And when the other villagers said, "Why did you do that?" she said, "They were hungry, and I'm here to serve." They had an understanding that the love of Christ would flow through them. They had been tested by the fires, and they had come through, and they gave their lives so that others could live. Sometimes we get our minds so much on our own troubles, we forget that God has called us to something new and better, that God has a plan for our life, that God has a direction for our life, that when we're called and that when we love him, we experience a new life. God says to us, all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I don't know where you are with the calling of God in your life. I don't know where you are with the love of God in your life. Maybe you've walked away from him. Maybe you're coming back because you're going, I need hope. I need direction. I need some understanding of what's going on. And God is saying to all of us, I have a plan for you to give you a future and a hope. It's for your welfare. It's for good things in your life. And he's just calling out our names saying, follow me. Follow me. And I will take you to a place that's good. If he's calling you right now, just answer the call. Just say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to know you. And I want the reassurance and I want the trust in you that will take me through. And Jesus is just waiting for you to do that, to give you new life. If you know Jesus already, maybe you're feeling worried and anxious, this is a time to give him it all, just saying, God, I want to know the peace of God, and I want to have the hope of God, and I want his love in my life. We're going to pray together now and just turn over all of our stuff to God, and let's do that. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bring to you our difficulties, our sufferings, our worries, our anxieties. Father God, we come to you just trusting you that all things do work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Father, we want to see that day. And in going through this time, make us more like Jesus. Teach us what it means to really love like Jesus loved, to be submitted and surrendered to you as Jesus was, to seek your will above everything else, to trust you when things look difficult, and to know that eventually down the road, you are working everything together for your perfect plan. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the hope that we have, and that in him, we are more than conquerors. And we pray this in his name.